On this episode of Bed Bath & Beyond, Andy and I discuss GameStop, Robinhood, Wall Street bets, Deshaun Watson trade, and we have a great interview with a B3T sports blogger. His name is Matt Lack, and he has two great articles on B3TSports.com about the top 40 players in the NBA, and we interview him, we dissect all the rankings, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So this will be fun. If you are investing in GameStop, BlackBerry, Nokia, AMC, just know that Andy and I are not financial advisors, and we just like these stocks. 3, 2, 1, go. I am Ian
Peacock. And I am Andy Heidemann, and I hate sports betting.
No matter what you say, I'm betting $100 on it tonight.
Welcome to Bed Bath & Beyond.
Brought to you by B3TSports.com.
And
we have another sponsor.
Oh, you're going to beat me to it. Go ahead. You name our first sponsor.
It's GameStop.
And BlackBerry and Nokia and AMC.
Let's go.
And Naked. Don't forget Naked.
The juice company.
No. They are an underwear company. They are just really reinventing what lingerie is. I like this stock.
We
like the stock. We like all those stocks. And if you've been living under a rock for the past 24 to 48 hours, you probably haven't noticed that the entire internet has blown up and we have...
Democracy is under attack.
We have Smooth Brain Autis from Wall Street Bets versus the big hedge funds on Wall Street.
I'll go InfoWars on this shit. Like, I will freak out. I will tear it down. This whole thing makes me so upset.
It is ridiculous.
And it's funny. I'll be on the lookout over the weekend. I'm going to be writing an article. I thought I was just going to be writing a think piece article on this stuff, but now it's going to probably be like a multi-part series on like tracking some of this stuff. I don't know my angle anymore, because at first it was funny to talk about it in the sense of betting, you know, because I mean, stock market, there's risk and you could do all the research you want, but you know, people who don't really study it aren't that tuned in. So, I mean, somebody like me or you, when we're making these bets or placing these investments, they're kind of like bets. I thought that'd be a cool angle, but I don't know if I, I don't know.
It's like this. It's like if we were like, okay, the Chiefs and the Bucks are playing in the Super Bowl, and we all know that, you know, everyone is betting on the Chiefs, and so we just see the Bucks money line keep going up and up and up, and we're like, wow, this is a real good value bet, right? This actually, as I'm thinking about this analogy, is probably terrible, because I honestly can't think of a short squeeze in sports betting. But basically, sure. Imagine if everyone decided to then bet on the Bucks because the odds were like plus 10,000 or something, just because everyone was betting on the Chiefs. Everybody who had the money, all these, you know, millionaires and billionaires were betting on the Chiefs, which would cause the Bucks money line to go way up as underdogs. Then we all put in, you know, all this money on the underdogs, and then the Bucks start winning the Super Bowl. And we're like, holy shit, the Bucks are actually going to win. And then
the lights go out.
And then Roger Goodell comes out on the field and says, we're not playing this game anymore. The game is over. There's no winner. Goodbye, everybody.
And then later on in that same day, he comes out on social media and says, but tomorrow we'll play the game in a limited fashion.
Oh, my God. I honestly can't believe this is happening. They're breaking the law. I mean, they're breaking the law.
So somebody's got to look at this. It's kind of funny, because if there are similar tweets on Twitter from AOC, Ted Cruz, Trump Jr. It's so bizarre watching these people all agree on Twitter when
Ben Shapiro.
We just got done with Ann Shapiro, and they're not wrong. Now, granted, they've got their they have their head on in the sense of knowing what their base is politically and knowing that every man is involved in this kind of stuff, and they're talking to their base and they're good on social media, and they're like, this is because they know it's fucked up.
Yeah,
everyone knows that this is wrong.
This spans across all parties. It doesn't matter if you are red, blue, conservative, liberal. If you've got chicken tendies in this, and we are all against big, bad Wall Street that has been abusing this kind of power for way too long, and they found themselves in a situation where I don't see them getting out of it until they had to break the law to get out of it, basically. They basically said, like hedge funds, like Melvin Capital, like Citadel, they basically said, we would rather break the law and take a fine and any other heat than lose the amount of money we're about to lose by shorting
and it's billions.
These stocks. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's billions.
Billions. And the other thing that I mean, it's kind of funny that I know this isn't sports betting, so forgive me.
It's what's going on in the world. We made the Super Bowl comparison.
Right. And you know, and as we go through this episode, we have a wonderful interview with Matlock on our on the website b3tsports.com. We talk about his top 40 NBA list. But before we get into that, I really wanted to kind of hash this out. Because like I said, I wanted to do an article about this. I'll still do it. I want to figure out how I want to spin it. But I might just do a summary and like kind of let people know what's going on. Because I think it's really interesting. Especially if you're... Because the stock market kind of took hold at the beginning of last year when sports betting wasn't a thing. Because right. There were no sports going on. And I remember you and I were big into like figuring out how it
calls
works.
And puts.
Dude,
doing options.
All I can say is that when you are leveraged, like some of these hedge funds are leveraged, and you start to lose because of the money that they play with, they can lose big. And they were about to. That doesn't happen often. But the thing that bothers me is regardless of how this turns out, they're going to get bailed out, and the everyman is going to be the one who's fucked. Because that's how it always is.
I'm never, after this, I'm never using Robinhood again. And that's a solemn,
I'm not either.
That's a solemn promise. So, I mean, if anyone's going to get fucked through this whole thing, besides the everyday man like us, it's going to be Robinhood. Because I can guarantee you, they're going to lose a shit ton of users.
And
me,
and they should.
You, yeah, pretty much everybody on Wall Street Bets, which is like 4 million people and counting.
4.6.
Shout out to the people who were there before a million. That was me.
Yep.
But yeah, this is. I mean, I want to say unprecedented, but it's not unprecedented. This is obviously
this is like a once every decade type thing.
Yes. And so two funny things that happened specifically in my situation. I was about to empty my entire Roth IRA into GME. GameStop.
That's so funny.
And my wife walks in, and sure enough, on the big monitor that I have on my desk, it just has my entire Roth IRA account, all the money that's in it, and I literally have it all in to GME, and there's a little ticker right next to it, and it says confirm. And I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me, and she's like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, nothing. Get out of here.
Was the price at that point? Do you know? Do you remember?
It was teetering around 220.
220. Okay.
Yep. But here's the thing. I actually did, when she left, I did kind of go through the process because I had already heard online that TD Ameritrade had stopped from people buying. And I think one of the only firms left was Fidelity that was allowing people to buy these, you know, short squeeze stocks. So I went through the process and I couldn't buy it. So I don't think at that time, I could have even pulled the trigger even if she hadn't walked in.
It's, you know, I just think that the Robinhood's fucking it for themselves, obviously, but they're messing it up for some of these other retail stock market apps. Where I mean, there's been some speculation that the reason Robinhood halted it was because they couldn't put up their own money against what people are buying, because it's not a one-to-one. They're not a huge, I mean, they're a big company, but what they're doing is we make a purchase and they like validate it and they like they front it and then it goes through on their end like a day later or whatever it is, but they still have to give it to you in real time. And people were speculating maybe that was their issue. Citadel already came out and made a statement that said, hey, we didn't tell them to do that, obviously, right? Because Citadel owns them. And to me, like, that's cutting off the arm to save the body. Even if they did tell them to do that, you can say we didn't. And then Robinhood goes tits up, and then they still keep Citadel as the hedge fund, right? But I don't know. I don't know if I believe that.
Well, it's also the messaging that the company did on social media to, and I got an email from Robinhood as well. It was in a very blatant sense, we're protecting you because of the volatility of these stocks. That's the messaging that they went with, which is total fucking bullshit because they sell cryptocurrency. So fuck you. Like, the entire cryptocurrency market is volatile.
I'm getting into crypto.
But it had nothing to do with the safety of your investors. You know, so that's bullshit. And then second, my wife, I was just taking out the trash. Ten minutes before we started recording, and she said, hey, did you know the Biden administration is looking into and investigating this GameStop Robinhood fiasco? And I was like, well, I fucking hope so. Like, there are people breaking the law. She's like, well, were you breaking the law? And I was like, no, I wasn't. I wasn't.
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
You're like, we like the stock.
I like the stock. There's no market manipulation going on. There's obviously no sort of insider trading that's going on. These people came out basically and told the media and said that they were shorting all these stocks. People like Melvin Capital and the Citadel, they were very loud about it. They were like, hey, this is what we're shorting.
No one calls shit.
Well, and it helps, you know, I mean, kind of market manipulation on their end to come out and say, hey, just to let you know, we're shorting all these stocks and they're such a huge firm. Of course, that's going to cause people to panic and try to sell any remaining stock they had in those stocks like GameStop and BlackBerry and all these others. See, you know,
that's the thing that pisses me off the most, is because they'll sit there and say what they're doing on Reddit and on social media is corrupt and they are hurting themselves. But you know what? They do it all the time. This is what TV was, TV and radio ads for this kind of shit back when we didn't have social media. They would get on TV and they would. Now, granted, I will say this, people didn't have the access like to Robinhood that we do. You couldn't just get on your computer. But you know what? People called their bookies for sports betting. They would call their bankers or CPAs for stock purchases. And people had people that would make the purchases for them. It's just different times, and now that it's being used against them, they're freaking out.
Eat the rich. I don't know what I'm holding. I'm not selling my positions.
Diamond hands.
Diamond fucking hands. No paper hands here. If I'm able to buy more tomorrow, I absolutely will. Fuck everyone that works on Wall Street. I'm here. I'm not selling until it hits fucking $4,269.
Did you see what it's at after market, or have you not checked yet?
I have checked. It's gone up.
Yeah, I think it's like, is it 280?
Yeah, so GameStop closed at 190, and now it's climbing, and I think it's like in the mid-200s.
I mean, those things are set to expire tomorrow, and I don't know if it's end of day tomorrow or just sometime tomorrow. I'm not sure, but... Well,
I mean, people who just bought the stock regularly, I know a lot of options and calls do expire tomorrow, but for some of the people that just bought the stock... They don't expire. For the people that shorted the stock, they don't expire. Shorts don't expire. So,
well, yeah, because they did what's called like a naked short. So like it's they're a lot of they could potentially lose an infinite amount of money if this goes real south.
Right. Yes, and that's exactly what people are talking about on Wall Street Bets. There's infinite losses and there's also infinite gains.
They're bleeding.
I know. Keep sticking them. Keep sticking the pig.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk about this on Monday too. The weekend will be crazy. Let's see. Do you have any like actual sports stuff that you want to talk about? In actual sports news, Deshaun Watson. This is interesting. It has been leaked that he demanded a trade, regardless of who the new coach is. The Texans made a coaching hire. Not that I'm necessarily against it, but the fact that the Chiefs offensive coordinator did not get a head coaching job is insane to me.
I don't know what Eric Dieniemy is what's his deal? I don't know. Is he waiting for Andy Reid to retire so he can take the reins and be the coach of the Chiefs, where you have the, you know, potentially the greatest quarterback in the league?
That could be interesting. I mean, that probably is not horrible. But I mean, he did interview for some of these jobs. It's not like he didn't go and do an interview. I mean, I think he interviewed for the Lions. He interviewed for the Texans.
Yeah, he goes and interviews, but that again gives him leverage for the Chiefs job. Sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I don't know how it's going to be looked at, but there are not very many black head coaches in the NFL. And that has been a thing that circulates every single year whenever there's head coaching vacancies, and how they're overwhelmingly white. And you don't know what happens behind those closed door meetings, obviously. But I do know for a fact, if I'm the Texans and I do have my choice between the Chiefs offensive coordinator and the Ravens wide receiver coordinator coach, I'm going to take the Chiefs offensive coordinator every time. So there has to be something extra there, whether it's he wanted too much money or wasn't a good fit, whatever. But the point of what I was saying is he demanded a trade, and he didn't leak that. The org leaked that. So
right,
that's kind of interesting.
I kind of assumed that Deshaun Watson was leaving the Texans after this season, just because of how disappointing of a season it was. And obviously they fired Bill O'Brien in the middle of the season. So, I mean, they're a mess. And I know their new head coach that they just hired is the passing coordinator for the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't remember his name, but
I don't either. Not very. I mean, to be fair, you guys don't have the best wide receivers. I mean, you got Mark Andrews.
We have Mark Andrews, and I kind of like Marquise Brown. I think he's got potential.
He came back. He came on a little bit.
He was dropping some passes kind of towards the middle there, but he kind of cleaned it up. So I don't know, but yeah, I guess we'll see. Dumpster fire over in Houston.
Yep. Let's see. Any other news in sports?
I don't think so. I think that we can kind of get right into our interview with Matt Lack, who, like you said, is a B3T sports blogger. Go to b3tsports.com. Pause the podcast, actually. Pause it right now. And if you haven't read his two articles on the top 40 players currently in the NBA, do that now, because you'll want to read the article, or at least have it up while you're listening, so that you can see all of his rankings and you understand what we're talking about. So b3tsports.com, their featured articles, top 40 players in the NBA by Matt Lack.
Let's get into it.
Okay, we are with Matt Lack, a.k.a. Drew Boy, a.k.a. the Jersey Oracle. Some have been calling you the Jersey Oracle in the streets.
Those are good days. They're no longer occurring, but those are some really good days of actually winning bets. Not happening anymore, though.
He is an official B3T Sports blogger on b3tsports.com. It's what this show's sponsored by. It's what we talk about all the time. He has two articles on b3tsports.com that are featured. So all you have to do is go to the main page and you'll see the images. You'll see the blogs right at the front page. It is his top 40 current players. I'm saying current.
That's important. That's important.
It is. It is certainly important. And we'll get into why. His top 40 players in the NBA. And we're going to discuss them. We're going to argue about them. And we're going to call each other names, most likely.
I hope.
Might get a little contentious, honestly. It feels like via the text it's that you know, I've had. Yeah, I know. I'm looking forward to this. This is this is going to be interesting, that's for sure.
you want to hit us with your first set of 10 here?
Yeah, and I think something that we discussed too is, and to be clear, like this is not like these 10 are a tier, right? Like, let's be clear on that. There's clearly a few different tiers here, but are we even going to get through the first one here, Ian? Or are you going to start talking shit just immediately instead of 40? You know?
Okay, because before we started recording, Andrew said, we're probably going to spend the most time talking about the top 10. And in my head, I'm like, I don't think so, Jim, because the number 30 through 40 is actually where I have probably my biggest beefs.
And that's what I was anticipating, yeah.
That's so interesting. I do not give a shit about the 30. Because, okay, number 40, I'll hit it here, is Zion Williamson. Yep. And you say at the beginning of your article, this is not just about current skill. This is potential as well.
Right.
Zion's a freak.
Zion's only played 38 games, though. He's only played 38 games. I mean, the guy has not played a half an NBA season yet. So, like, don't get me wrong, he has to be on there, and he is ahead of players like Porzingis and Julius Randle, and Kemba Walker even isn't on this list. So, like, he deserves to be there. But, I mean, let's put it this way. Like, once the guy can get a full 41 games, a half an NBA season, I'll consider putting him up, like, probably where he belongs. But come on, guys. Like, the guy just needs to play some more games here before we start touting him and anything beyond that.
Okay, because that was one of my big questions. I wrote in big caps on my notebook, Zion does not belong at number 40. Just circled it, double underlined it. I did write down, and you touched on this, he's only played 38 games. I did look that up, which is surprising, but obviously we know about his knee problems. He has, though, averaged 23 points just in those 38 games and 58% field goal percentage.
I mean, Zion's an awesome basketball player. Like, that's for sure, right?
He can't pass, but no one grabbed him to pass. Like, that's not his you know what I mean? I think him being in the in this, I know they're not tiers, but in this area, I'm okay with that.
Are you, Andrew? Are you okay with that?
I am. I'm actually surprised that Siakam is in the 30 to 40 range. I thought he would be in the 20 to 30 range.
Yeah,
I
know what?
That
guy. He's had a weird year, right? That's the thing.
Yeah, this year I think is, I don't know. I think he's one of those guys that gets better and better every single time that I watch him play every season, right?
Yeah, it's kind of been weird because, like, I kind of think he sucks just in general. Like, he's one of those dudes who, like, he's on Toronto, and that's cool. Like, he's a 6'9", 6'10", like, plays hard on defense, gets some buckets. Like, he's a good player, but when you're talking about, like, the top 30 players, I mean, the guy is not going to win you a basketball game in any stretch of the imagination. Like, the guys ahead of him, like Rudy Gobert is right in front of him, defensive player of the year. Kyle Lowry will go get you a bucket to win a game. Then you got Westbrook, Booker, and Chris Middleton, who I think are all better players. So for me, it just kind of came down to, like, yeah, he's really good, but he's nowhere, I don't think he's anywhere near as good as someone like Devin Booker, who's only four spots ahead of him.
Stud.
Yeah.
Devin Booker is a stud. Okay, I think that's all the Zion talk I really want to say. I am curious, though. Let's say, hypothetically, Zion plays a full healthy season and maintains those numbers that we just talked about, 22 to 23 points a game in the high 50s field goal percentage. Where would you place him on this list, a healthy Zion?
I mean, I think you put him probably like mid-20s, right? I mean, like near like Jaylen Brown, Sabonis, Chris Paul. I mean,
averaging 20 over 22 points a game is over a career, by the way, over a season. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, and that's what that tier's for. I mean, look at Sabonis' numbers too. I think Sabonis right now is averaging 24 or 25 points a game with like 13 rebounds and 8 assists. Like, Sabonis is a sneaky, like, excellent player in the NBA. So I don't know if I'm ready to put Zion, and this might even come into some contention here, in like the Trae Young, Ingram, Simmons, McCollum, Towns kind of tier there towards the end of like the 10s.
I can't wait
20s.
For that conversation.
Yeah. So I don't know if the Ben Simmons thing's coming yet, but yeah.
Okay. Andy, you said you don't really care about 30 through 40. Nah. I'm surprised because I thought you were a Russell Westbrook fan. I thought you were Russell Westbrook bandwagon with me.
Russell Westbrook is a phenomenal athlete. I love athleticism. That's part of the reason I like the NBA. Obviously, football is my favorite sport of all time, but I like watching the athletic feats that these guys can perform. Russell Westbrook also plays with a chip on his shoulder. There are other guys in the NBA who do that. I mean, he's not the only one. And I've seen him try to be the guy on a team. He's really, you average triple-double. You're very athletic and you're very gifted physically at basketball. But basketball is also basketball knowledge and how you apply that. And if we're adding some of that to this list, Russ is probably fine where he's at.
Russell Westbrook is 32 on Drew's top 40 list. Now, I totally agree. He is on the decline. He is. He's not, you know, averaging the triple doubles that he was.
Like, he is bad.
Let's not sugarcoat this. The dude has 163 points on 163 shots this season. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's the stat. Another stat too is the fact that he's shooting under 40% on two pointers this year.
Now, is he hurt? I don't know how you have such a dramatic decline in your performance. I mean, I know he got traded, right? He's on the Wizards now, which sucks for anybody. But
I mean, not for Wizards fans.
Apparently for Wizards fans, he's not shooting 40% and he's got 168 points on 168 shots.
This season, he's only played 9 games, but you're right. He is under. He's like at 37% field goal percentage. However, in his very, very, very long career of almost 900 games, he averages 23 points a game.
Sure.
And we were just saying how hard it is for just someone to do that in a season. He's doing that in 900 games.
Not only that,
he was averaging a triple-double for almost like pretty much an entire season and was MVP of the entire league.
Sure, and that was then, and this is now. The difference between Zion and him and their positions on this list is that Zion is going nowhere but up based on his age and his trajectory. Russ has a couple years left, probably.
And Russ might even be a little high at 32 for the way he's playing right now. I mean, like, the dude he fell off a cliff, and I referenced this in my article, which it reminds me of Iverson. It honestly reminds me of Iverson. Like, Iverson went from a dude who was absolutely the guy in Philly. I mean, I grew up worshiping the man and how great he was at basketball. And the next thing you know, he's on the Nuggets, and he's getting you maybe 18 to 24, but he's kind of wasting possessions. His field goal percentages are going down. And that's what Russ is right now. And honestly, like, if it came down to, hey, Drew, do you want, like, De'Aaron Fox or Drew Holiday or Malcolm Brogdon on your team over Russell Westbrook? Like, I absolutely would.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you guys aren't wrong.
I just wish we were.
Special place in my heart for Russell Westbrook. I still am holding on to those glory days. What was it? The 2017 season that he had all those triple doubles, one MVP. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And he deserves it. Cause you talked about 900 games averaging those stats. That's a Hall of Fame, probably career. But again, this list is about today, the now.
And Ian, why do you love Russell Westbrook so much? Like, where is this kind of emotional attachment to Russ coming
from? Okay, I'm glad you asked. I think it really goes back to in high school when I was watching probably the Oklahoma City Thunder more than any other team. For whatever reason, I don't even really know why, but this is when they had Westbrook, this is when they had Harden, this is when they had KD, and I just look at that team with such fond memories, and I know that was a long time ago, and they went to the finals, and they lost, sadly, but I just have a special place in my heart for Russell Westbrook, and the fact that he went to different teams, he went to the fucking Rockets, but he tried... Even when KD left the Thunder, he stayed and tried as hard as he could to get them to the finals and couldn't. And I just respected that so much more than the snake that KD is leaving. I respected Russell Westbrook so much by staying in OKC and trying and fighting to try to get there. The true underdog story. I think if we kind of remove all the layers, that's what really gets me about Russell Westbrook.
And you can like the dude. But he's an okay basketball player at the moment.
Yeah, Ian, that story with Borderline brings a tear to my eye. It's so nice. It's a nice tale of Westbrook.
I really do. He was left all alone in OKC. And
I'm telling you, as far as players with chips on their shoulder, he's been replaced by Jimmy Buckets. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's talk about Jimmy 30 Buckets. Through. Except he's got COVID. Let's talk about 30 through 21 here. Anything stand out that you want to talk about? I've got one thing that I like.
I'll let you go first because mine kind of ties in with the top 22 because in the article, Drew Matlack, Drew, you compare Trae Young, Karl Anthony Towns, CJ McCollum, Ben Simmons, and they're all kind of bordering that 20 you know, somewhere in the top in 20 to 30. And I know you put Ben Simmons as number fucking 20. And I think that's absolutely bullshit. And we're going to go over numbers. And I think you're a homer, which is okay. It's okay to be a homer. You're from, you know, you're a big 76ers fan. Obviously, I can understand your sentiment towards Ben Simmons. Yep. But looking at the numbers, I don't think that they should be compared towards one another. But Andrew, with that being said, I'll let you go first.
Donovan Mitchell at 27. I just want to know why.
No, I think that's fair. First off, do you watch basketball? Like, do you watch the Jazz at all? Like, did you watch the playoffs last year? Like, have you seen this dude hoop?
Sure. Wait, this is coming. This is coming from the same dude, guy. This is coming from the same guy. Two episodes ago, in Bet Bath Beyond, thought that the Lakers had played the Denver Nuggets for the NBA Finals last year.
And they won.
That was Andrew.
Go Lakers.
That was Andrew. I said, man, Jimmy Butler in the Heat, fucking taking on LeBron. And Andy fucking cuts me off and says, no, what are you talking about? The Lakers beat the Nuggets
can't be real.
In the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. There we go, Andrew.
Andrew doesn't watch basketball.
Yeah, I know. Well, clearly not, because I mean, I think if you really watch the playoffs, especially last year, like if you just look at the stats and just look at Donovan Mitchell's stat line, you're gonna be like, all right, this guy is decent. He's like, again, that 23 point per game type of guy. But the dude just put his team on his back last year.
Yeah,
I think he had more than one game over 40 points in that series versus the Nuggets. Remembering,
I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm not saying Donovan Mitchell at 27, that's too high. I'm saying I can't believe that he's like not closer to the 20s. Like down.
Oh, I thought you were going the other.
No.
Oh, okay. I'm misunderstanding.
Because I look at Jaylen Brown and I definitely look at Chris Paul. Ja Morant, I think, is definitely, if you're talking about potential, I like kind of where he's placed there. But I think that I think Donovan Mitchell could definitely make a case for 22, 21.
Yeah, and it's really interesting with the 21 to 30 is it is such like splitting hairs. Like this is kind of like, again, like, kind of sparked the idea for the blog was me and my friend Joe driving out, having nothing but time and just kind of like talking about it. And sure. I think when it comes to like one Sabonis who's right in front of him, like that guy just does so many different things for you that I would have to have him in front of Mitchell. But if you switched it around, I wouldn't argue with you. I just think Jaylen Brown's a better two-way player. Chris Paul is Chris Paul. Like, he's going to probably put the team on his back for the Suns the rest of the year and get them to the playoffs, which Booker couldn't do, right? So, like, that guy is really takes to the next level. And then I think Ja Morant is just a better player. Like, I mean, they're very similar, him and Donovan Mitchell, but I think Ja Morant has a chance to be a top-10 player where Donovan Mitchell not so much.
Okay.
But sorry, Andrew, I just shit on you for absolutely no reason. So that,
not for no reason, for entertainment.
Doing it for the pod.
Yeah,
you know?
And he also thought that the Nuggets played the Lakers.
Two
West teams. I do like Chris Paul. I have Chris Paul on my fantasy basketball team, which is my first year playing, and I love it. I actually love fantasy basketball.
I wanted to bring this up too. I do love basketball because Ian, one, you're in like the jankiest fantasy basketball league I think I've ever seen. like without setup.
Well, how many leagues have you seen? This is only my first league. I literally have no sort of baseline on an NBA basketball league.
Well, and I know you guys have talked about it on previous pods, but you have what, 10 starters and 4 or 5?
10 starters. So it's 10. We have to start 10 players at a time. Yeah. 3 of them are utility positions.
Right.
And then we only get 3 bench spots and 2 IR spots.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, the reason I say that is because it's so much more fun when you have guys playing. So, like, for me, like, we have, I think, and I think you mentioned this on the pod, I think it's 7-7 or 7-6, just so then you can actually make sure that you have someone playing every day.
If you're familiar, Drew, you can let me know. But are there some leagues that are very, very competitive where you will only get 6 starters, and you know, you get your 5-man roster and a 6th man, and you're constantly trying to rotate these guys to get the better thing, or is it standard to try to run 7?
I think 7 is even a little bit low. I think where Ian's at, as far as the 10 guys starter, is actually more common. Because a lot of leagues will have their five starters, their three utilities, and then maybe one or two, like a guard and a forward, something like that. But I've only played in two leagues. The one I played in was, I think, in college or something like that, which did have, I think, closer to 10. I think my thing in referring to it as janky is more so the three bench players.
Sure.
I mean, you got to have more guys, right? I mean, I think you'd even agree there that you'd love to have a few more guys you could throw in on a weekly or daily basis.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And I'm actually looking at my lineup right now, and I fucked up. I'm so mad. Fucking D'Angelo Russell is not playing tonight. He's out.
Oh, God damn it.
Fucking quad soreness. What a bitch. And I left someone on my bench that I could have easily had
in his place.
Well, I have Derrick Rose, and I also have Darius Garland. Darius Garland has been he's been returning from a shoulder injury, so I've kind of been keeping my eye on him and how many points and minutes he's putting up. But that's a mistake on me. I think that's the first time this entire season I've left points on the bench.
He's a hooper, though. Darius Garland's sick, so assuming he could be healthy, he might be like a great little rotation guy for you there.
For sure. For sure. Okay, getting back onto the list, we are 20 to 30. Like I said, well, let me see. Let me look at my notes on my little notebook. Ben Simmons. Also, all caps, also double underline, Ben Simmons does not deserve to be top 20. Now,
he can't shoot the three.
Andrew had to say it. Andy had to say it. He cannot shoot the three. And I know you mentioned it in the article, so I'm not even going to really put
that
into my
argument. Odds opening weekend for NBA, it was will Ben Simmons hit a three? And I think it was plus 225.
For the opening weekend?
That was insane. Yeah, for opening weekend. That's insanity. And I don't think he did hit a three.
I think he's got three this year, if I remember
correctly. That makes
sense.
He's
got two or three. Yeah.
How many attempts do you know?
I have no clue.
Because if it's two or three, then good for Ben Simmons. He's
listen. Here's the thing with Ben Simmons, because we're not going to focus on the three-pointers. You know what I mean? There's no reason to bring up the things he can't do. Let's talk about the things he can do. You know? He can play defense.
Okay, I know, and his defense is good. He's got around 8 rebounds. He's averaging like 8 rebounds and 8 assists in his career and this season, which is solid. And I know he's a good defensive player. However, you put Karl-Anthony Towns, Trae Young, CJ McCollum, I believe all above him in the 20s. And in the article, you even say about these five players, you say, as your number one, these guys will get you in as a sixth seed and be a tough out.
Yeah, and shout out my friend Nick for coining that. And I think that's like, when I was thinking about the kind of this part of the list, I thought they were all actually pretty interesting to debate. So I shot a text around to a few groups just to say like, hey, like, where do you see these guys in your top five? And I got like a pretty... Everyone had a different top five as far as between Brandon Ingram, Trae Young, Ben Simmons, CJ McCollum, and Karl-Anthony Towns. They'd be a great starting five if you could somehow scheme that out, because they're all very different players. But I'll be honest, I think Cat sucks. I think he's overrated. I think that his teams are always terrible. He's been in the playoffs one time, and when he was, in five games he averaged 15 points. That was Jimmy Butler's team, and Jimmy got out of there because he was such a pussy. So realistically, there's no reason he should be in front of Ben Simmons. And I'd love to hear any argument against that, but I mean, can the guy get to the playoffs one time on his own?
Here's the argument for, because we haven't really talked about playoff potential for some of these guys, because Russell Westbrook, I'm not even going to talk about Russell Westbrook anymore, but okay, so it's talking about Karl-Anthony Towns. He averages in his career 23 points, 12 rebounds, and a measly 3 assists. The 3 assists will kind of chalk off to the side. Ben Simmons only averages 16 points a game and 8 rebounds. Mm-hmm. Now their field goal percentage is very, very similar. They're both, the assists are 8. Yes.
There we go.
Okay. Yep. Uh-huh, 8 assists. Uh-huh. But the 23 points to the 16 points, the 12 rebounds to the 8 rebounds. Yes, Ben Simmons does have 5 more averaging assists than Karl-Anthony Towns. And they both have around the same field goal shooting percentage. This is why I think, and if you look at also like Trae Young even has 20, he's averaging 24 points a game.
And like 12 assists.
CJ McCollum averaging 19 points, Brandon Ingram, I think, is actually right around par with Ben Simmons, but I think he's got more potential. But I'd be surprised, and I know you're a 76ers fan. I know this is coming from a place of love and pride. I would be surprised if anyone outside of the Philly world, anyone who's not a 76ers fan, would put Ben Simmons as a better player than the three players we just talked about, Karl-Anthony Towns, Trae Young, and CJ McCollum.
Isn't Ben Simmons younger?
Yeah, he's, I think, a year younger than Karl-Anthony Towns. I think it was the next draft, if I'm remembering correctly. But here's my last thing on Karl-Anthony Towns. So I know I said he averaged 15 points in the playoffs, but let me run you through the stat lines of his five games in the playoffs. So game one, 40 minutes, 8 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists. Game two, 23 minutes, 5 points, 10 rebounds, no assists. He had a minus 21 for that game. So literally while he was on the court, the team lost by 21 points that game. Third game, 18 points, 16 rebounds, 3 assists. A little bit better, right? Fourth game, 22 points, 15 rebounds, 2 assists, minus 13, plus minus. Last game, 23, 14, 4, minus 14. In just games that actually fucking matter, that guy sucks. So that's all I have to say about that.
Clutch factor's a thing. By the way, where's
Blake
Griffin?
Do you think Ben Simmons is clutch?
Do I think Ben Simmons is clutch?
I'm just saying clutch factor's a thing. I think listen, it's a thing, too. You're talking to a guy who has Lamar Jackson on his team and has to listen to everyone talk about how he can't win big playoff games. I understand clutchness and being big in the moment, especially in the playoffs, is big. But is Ben Simmons, has he proven that he can do it better than Karl-Anthony Towns?
Yes.
I would say maybe even there, right? Like that's the interesting thing too, because Ben's kind of the second option on the Sixers, where Kat's number one. So that's kind of where it's a weird gray area.
It's crazy to me that Ben is the two, because I think Joel Embiid sometimes drives me crazy.
He's so good.
Oh, well, and you'll love him. You'll love him at number 11.
Yeah,
Andy.
Honestly, something I want to say about this set here is I love where Kyrie is placed. At 15, that makes me happy.
Why?
Because Kyrie's a bitch.
Kyrie is a bitch.
Kyrie thinks the world is flat, and he's a bitch. Yeah, okay, there we go.
Yeah, no, Kyrie, I think, is exactly where he needs to be, right? Like, I mean, he's a great player, but goddamn, would you want him on your team? Like, would you really want him on your team? Yeah, like, absolutely
not. No, I don't want Kyrie.
If that dude was quiet like he was on the Cavs and was like methodical and like okay, Kevin Durant is a bitch, but the dude is a baller.
Yes.
All right. So if you can deal with that in your locker room, you're like, we got Kevin Durant. Let him do his thing. You just let him go.
Whispering?
No, I'm just saying, like, if that's fuck you. I'm just saying, if you're a teammate of his, I'm pretending to be a teammate, right? Like, if you're pissed off at the way he acts on social or anything like that, you're still gonna say, we have Kevin Durant. I'm fine with it. You don't say that about Kyrie, not anymore, at least. Maybe on the Cavs, where you're like, this guy is a clutch. He has great handles. He's a phenomenal scorer. He's just a bitch.
Couldn't agree more. I think he's kind of in that spot there. Like, I consider Paul George, Bradley Beal, Kyrie Irving, even Jason Tatum's kind of still up in the air, but even Bam Adebayo are kind of like, they're great second options on a championship team. Like, they're like, you kind of need those guys to win a chip, but not sure if they can actually get you over the hump just if they're your number one guy. Kyrie, I mean, that man can't even play 82 games anymore, let alone all the games in the playoffs. So, yeah.
And I think he's not playing for the Nets. I think he's just sitting out.
No, he did play against the Cavs the other day, didn't he?
Yeah, he's back now.
He did?
Yeah,
they have all three of their guys. Good for them.
I mean, serious question. Do you think Kyrie knows that if in the stretch of the final seconds of game that they're down 2 points and they need a three-pointer, do you think he takes that shot or do you think he knows to hand it to KD or to Harden?
I think they actually ran a play for Kyrie, if I'm remembering correctly. Where
that is disgusting.
It was down the stretch, and it was like off of it's outrageous. I don't know what Steve Nash is doing, because that's all ultimately Steve Nash's call. Yeah, but I mean, Kevin Durant is probably the most lethal scorer to ever play, as far as just being a 7-footer who can shoot the way he can. So I hope Steve, like, I hope Steve Nash understands moving forward. Maybe you let the dude who thinks that he is the earth is flat and that he's somehow, I don't know.
What do you mean, it's kind of the beginning. Yeah. It's the beginning half of the season. I mean, I get it. You're trying to work some stuff out still and kind of see what works. In the NBA, it's not so much about, I mean, seeding is important, but it's not nearly as important as getting to the playoffs. Once you get there, you can kind of know what works for you. It's not like the NFL where you get, you know, that first round bye and you're like, this is, I have all this time to prepare. So I kind of understand that, but I'm just hoping down the stretch later in the game, it's got to be KD. It has to be.
It's got to be.
We already talked a little bit. We talked Paul George, playoff P. Didn't really show
playoff
up.
Playoff P, baby. Fuck playoff P. Honestly, you could have had playoff P in the fucking, you could have switched him with Zion, and I'd be like, okay, that's good. I fucking
honestly,
hate Paul
next
George.
Year, that could happen. That could honestly happen next year.
Seriously.
Yeah, Paul George
he's going to have
made
a big fall off.
Well, he's the worst.
And Andy, Jimmy Butler at number 12, Joel Embiid at number 11. What are your thoughts? Because I think Jimmy Butler belongs ahead of Joel Embiid.
I think Jimmy Butler should be top 10, and I'll tell you why. We're talking about when we talk about clutch factor, I think Jimmy Butler's got it. You talk about his production in the playoffs. The man puts it all out there, and he plays two ways very well. I just think that is – now, I know he hasn't been doing it as long as some of these other guys in the top 10. I'm not saying to push them out, and I'm just saying I think he – is a top 10 type of player. We just can't fit him in there. I don't feel that way all the time about Joel Embiid. I feel like Jimmy Butler's more consistent than Joel.
I love Jimmy Butler. So let's make sure that's clear, because that guy is my dude. Like, when he played for the Sixers, I think I might have been Jimmy Butler's biggest fan. Like, he is such a savage, and I love seeing him play up against LeBron James last year in the playoffs, or the NBA Finals, rather. I just think, I mean, Joe's a guy who can get you 40 and 20 if he wants. Jimmy can't. I mean, that's probably a homer pick too, but I at least for me, I think Joe is just by far a better overall basketball player than Jimmy, and I mean that in a one seed difference, right? Because I love both those players so much.
Sure. Final question about this kind of tier. The Miami jerseys, the pink and blue ones, yay or nay?
The ones this year that are actually pink?
Yep.
I'm out on these because I like the ones previously.
Good job,
so much
Drew. No. Yeah. Good job. I didn't want to say anything to kind of influence your pick. Those things are disgusting. The
I love
candy,
them.
The old jerseys, the old Miami retro jerseys.
I mean, they're both cool.
Fire.
They're both cool, but
fire.
I really like the ones this year.
I just, what was it? The blue and the black. I mean, those were just, in my opinion, better. But, you know, to each their own. I guess if you want a cotton candy jersey like Ian said, that's fine.
No, you don't.
I mean, Andy wants the cotton candy.
I do. I think they're sick, but it is what it is.
Sixers have real colors. We got red, white, and blue. We're all right.
Whatever. Well, who are the best jerseys in the NBA?
It's so hard now. It's just four for each team. I'm going to say the Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah, no. I think it's interesting because this year they actually kind of balled out in the fourth jerseys. So, like, the Suns have, like, a really sick set now. The Lakers are classic.
I like the Lakers all black jerseys. Yeah. You like Cream City.
I love Cream City, baby. I love Cream City. Okay. Top 10. Okay. Andrew.
Yeah.
The Greek Freak.
I know. This has
back-to-back. Hold on. Our back-to-back MVP, the man who has taken the fucking Bucks kicking and screaming through the playoffs. Hasn't made it to a finals
the
yet.
Second round.
I will admit, hasn't made it to a finals yet.
Conference finals.
He will get you to the playoffs. And yeah,
to the
he
second
lost
round.
To Kawhi Leonard. He lost to Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi, I agree Kawhi should be top five. But the Greek Freak, reigning back-to-back MVP, probably the most potential of any player on this list, the most potential, is number five.
It's funny, I have the same problem with Giannis that I do with Ben Simmons. Can't shoot the three. If Giannis could shoot the three, he would be the scariest motherfucker on the planet. Not just in basketball, on the planet. I'm just saying.
But, like,
I think
he's not the most potential. That's Luka Doncic.
Luke, I don't know. Yeah. I think Luka's metrics make him capped more, because Giannis is literally, I mean, he is a freak. Like, no one can guard Giannis. But did you notice in the last couple of games, like I think the Clippers played the Bucks, they were giving Giannis so much room at the 3-point line.
Yeah, they were.
It's just like Ben,
like,
Simmons.
So
yeah.
much room. They were like, just shoot it, do it, and he couldn't. It's probably harder for bigger guys like that to shoot the three. I mean, I know it's just a motion. You could practice it, but, you know, I mean, you got further to come back in to get into your shooting stance and actually make the shot. I think, though, based on that, again, he's only getting to the second round. Put Anthony Davis over Giannis.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
And Andrew, I thought about that, honestly. That was the one that might have been one of the harder, like, the trio there of Steph Curry, Giannis, and Anthony Davis, because they are – all three of them are incredible players. But, yeah, Anthony Davis and Giannis actually kind of remind me of each other, where, like, Anthony Davis on his own team couldn't get through the second round
right.
either. Giannis might be statistically the best player of all time. Like, if you just look at his stats, they are unbelievable. But, I mean, come down the stretch, the guy doesn't do shit for you. Like, he's not going to make free throws. To your point, he's not going to make a three. Probably won't make a jumper in general. Where right. Luka Doncic, I mean, that guy, he'll get you a bucket. So that's why, like,
I
think about Luka.
I wish Luka did not get hurt in that last playoff run.
That was so sad.
That series, though, was fire. Fucking, it was
Does
chippy.
Does MVP not count anymore for anything? Does Ed, do we not care about the MVP? Like,
LeBron should win MVP every fucking year. Basketball is a sham.
Back-to-back MVPs, and we're talking about putting him above Anthony Davis, who yeah. didn't get a single vote.
Well, that's why I said, for me, that's why he's at 5 and not 6, right? It came down to the two MVPs. Otherwise,
also,
I'd rather
Giannis
have Anthony Davis.
Giannis is 26. Let's remember. He's 26.
Yeah, of course.
Years old.
He's young.
That's very young in basketball years. We're not talking about
football.
He's
got lots of potential. He's got lots of potential. I'm just saying that, like, MVP to me in basketball is not as important as MVP. Honestly,
very
even in the NFL,
driven.
MVP is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to know a crazy stat? Do you want to know a crazy stat?
I would love to. I love for those.
Everybody in the NBA who has ever won the MVP award has gone into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but Ian, the Basketball Hall of Fame is like, I think Jalen Rose might be in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I don't know if that's true. And I will say, obviously, it's not Cooperstown.
Yeah,
we all
I'll
know
check
it's
that
not
now.
Cooperstown.
Check that
but,
out.
But still, Hall of Fame means something. The MVP award, I think, does mean something. He's won back-to-back. That's all. That's going to be my final thing about Giannis.
Gianna. Then we got Steph at 4, which, good on you. The respect.
Greatest shooter in history.
Game respect game.
I just, but I feel kind of bad because, I mean, I don't know if, I mean, because, okay, these top 5 guys here, like Giannis, yeah, he's not winning championships, but he is getting them to the second round. Kawhi, I mean, if you put Kawhi in the same kind of situation that Giannis is in, he'll probably always at least get you to the second round. Kevin Durant will probably always get you to the second round. And unless you're LeBron, like if you put LeBron on any team, even like that horrible Cavs team, I'm telling you, LeBron, barring injuries, probably taking you to the finals.
100%. Yep.
I don't know if Steph is like that. Steph is great, but I don't know if you put him in a position like him on the Cavs if he's taking you to the second round.
I think that's a really fair point. Like, because I would actually agree with you. Like, I don't know if Steph is the type of dude who can, like, when it really comes down to the grit of the season, right, to get you in through the playoffs. I don't know necessarily if he could either, because obviously we've only seen it with him, Clay, and Draymond. But what I will say, and I mentioned this in my blog a little bit, I mean, first of all, the dude changed basketball. Like, basketball
yeah,
will not be the same because of Steph Curry. And two, I mean, he set the tone with that team. Like, he led that team. Yep. He was the guy that it came in early, left late. Like, as much as you might be right, Steph makes his teammates better, probably more, and this is tough with LeBron, but is either number one or number two in this entire list who makes their teammates better. The only one who could be better would be LeBron James. So
it,
that's what I have.
It is
I
LeBron
totally,
James.
Totally agree, and I didn't want to cut you off, Andy, but you're wrong. Steph Curry does lead his team to the finals, and he did it with Golden State, and I know he had, I know he had Klay Thompson. I don't know if Draymond Green was really the factor for the first championship. I know he.
But he was defensive player of the year that year, I think, wasn't he?
The first one?
I think so. I can't speak to that 100%.
I think given your track record, we're going to say you're wrong. And then just chalk it up to me. And he led. Look, he was the leader. He was the captain of the Golden State Warriors team. He was the figure face of that dynasty. You think of the Golden State Warriors dynasty, you look at Steph Curry's face. Okay?
Yeah, but what I was saying though is that the team that LeBron took when he was on the Cavs,
insane.
Is like, was it second or third year in the league? That team, like, if you put Klay on that
Kyrie?
Team. No, not
oh,
his
no, no,
the
second player.
It's like 2000.
Yeah, I'm talking about. Yeah, this is like the season. Yeah. If you put Steph on that team, I don't think they're finals. Now, I get what you're saying. Yeah, I know. This is before like the Splash Bros were really the Splash Bros, and this was before Draymond blew up. He did do a lot for them. I don't think that he's not right to be in top five, but I do want to point out that I don't think Steph could do what some of these other guys can do in that regard. They can't shoot like him. So, I mean, that's
best
kind of the give and take.
100%.
But, yeah.
Looking at this top four players, we have LeBron at number one. Agree. But looking at these top four players, one person stands out to me that the rest doesn't fit.
Uh-oh.
Every single person, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry, they all did what? They all led their teams to the finals. They all led their teams to a championship. They all led their teams and got a ring. Now I'm looking at number two, and number two is Kevin Durant.
He's
and
a snake.
Kevin Durant could not do what the other three did, and that was lead a team on his own to the championship. And I don't know if he ever will. And I know he is a lethal, lethal fucking player. The Slim Reaper. He is a snake, but he's also a great shooter. I think he averages like fucking 29 points in his whole goddamn career per game. It's fucking insane. I understand that. He, when we're talking about the greats, you have to be able to be a leader and lead your team to the playoffs. Lead your team to the finals and win. Kevin Durant has never done that, and I don't think he can do that.
And you know what? We need somebody who's not going to be crying when somebody says, hey, you shot the ball kind of weird on Twitter.
We can need someone who's not going to create 10 different troll accounts to kind of go around and ratio everyone that talks bad about you.
Man, it would have been fun this year if they didn't get James Harden. I was really looking forward to it. Like, I wanted to see KD. You know, you have Kyrie Irving, so you got some talent. And then you got LeVert, Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, who I think is actually a pretty damn good center, all things considered. I thought it was a perfect opportunity for KD to lead a team through the East to the finals, playing LeBron potentially. But now they have Harden, and it's kind of this weird super team that the rest of the players can play basketball? Maybe? We'll see.
I want to know. I want to know right now from both of you what you think of this. If the Nets don't make the finals, that's a huge failing, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's for finals sure. Or bust for them.
Absolutely.
If they don't make the finals, and even if they do make the finals, if they lose to the Lakers, because that's who the Lakers are going to make it, what does that look like for Kevin Durant?
Yeah, I don't even know what that would look like for Kevin Durant, to be honest with you.
It means he can't lead a fucking team to the finals. He needs to be that really great scorer that's like, hey, I'm going to make your team better. Trust me.
Sure.
Like, I'll get you guys to a ring, but I'm not going to be the leader. I can't do it by myself. And Kawhi's done it. Steph Curry's done it. LeBron James has done it. And I think the Greek Freak will eventually do it with the Bucks. I just don't think Kevin Durant has it in him.
The Nets are such a weird team. They're such a weird team, too, because James Harden sucks in the playoffs as well, and Kyrie at any point can decide that he'll retire or go to North Dakota and kind of do some rituals or something like that. I don't know. So, yeah, I would say, honestly, they're not the team to beat in the East, which makes it kind of an interesting conversation. I think that is either the Bucks, the Celtics, or the Sixers this year, just kind of where I'm seeing here. The Nets have a lot to prove, and to your point, it is finals or bust for them.
The Celtics piss me off every year.
Well, they piss me off every day of existence of the Boston Celtics. I fucking hate that team, but
All right. Obviously, one is LeBron James. I don't have anything to debate there. I think that's great. Ian, do you have any shots you want to take at the king?
No, no shots at the current king of the NBA. We all know he's been in the spotlight since he was like fucking 16 years old.
And he wears it well.
He wears it well. He's lived up to all of the expectations, which is pretty much impossible in this
father
day and
age. Father
of three. And father of three. He's got a good head on his shoulders. Father he's of a three. Great role model. Like,
you yeah, know, Kawhi, Steph, and fucking Kevin Durant. Three kids.
Yep.
No drama. No drama with him. Like, no drama. Has stayed out of like trouble, which, I mean, to have that fame and all that money at such a young age is hard to do. Listen. What is he? 4 for 9?
Yep.
On rings? 4 for 9? He's number one. He's number one.
Yeah, at this point, too, it's actually pretty incredible what he's doing. And I think he's going to be the MVP this year. I really do.
If he wins another MVP and another – oh, my God. He's better than Jordan, boys. He's better than Jordan.
If he wins the finals and he wins MVP this year, maybe we start having that conversation.
No, I think we should already be having that conversation. I mean, obviously, if he wins two more, it's a no-brainer because he'll have as many as Jordan, and he'll have gone 9 to 11 times. Holy shit!
I have too many friends in Chicago to confirm or deny that. I think
I got no friends in Chicago, and they if they're listening, they can fucking call into the hotline. Yep. I'm telling you.
Yeah, has anyone called in the hotline recently? I feel like I was the first caller, first guest in the pod. This is great. I'm honored. This is awesome.
Yeah, congrats. You are the very first guest on Bed Bath & Beyond, and I think you were the very first caller on the Bath line. We haven't had you know who calls a lot on the Bath line? Casey Monninghoff, another B3T Sports blogger. The problem is I tell him every single time when we record and when I need the recording by so I can mix it into the episode. He, of course, always gets it to me at like midnight when I've already mixed the episode. I'm not going to go back just to input Casey's fucking picks on the Eagles. Like, no, I'm not doing it.
An Eagles hating podcast anyway. So, I mean,
I know. The whole website is Eagles hating, and it's unbelievable. Oh. So hopefully with the Sixers, because they were the lovable losers, and now they're – I don't know what the hell they are now, but we're beating the Lakers, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, hey, just want to get a quick humble brag in there, you know?
Yeah, hey, you're part of the website. You're a blogger. You have a chance to make it pro Philly.
I'm going to do my damnedest. I really am.
Hell yeah. Call into the Bath line, because we're talking about the Bath line, just to see if this spawns any new calls. You can call the Bath line at 312-600-5460. Call it.
And Ian will personally give you a $50 gift card to Amazon. So that would be cool too.
Maybe, yeah.
Bag
sure.
of dog you treats.
and a dog treat. We're not talking about that right now.
Okay. So hold on. So they're playing the 76ers right now?
Yep.
Oh, you are winning. I need another stats
yeah.
of this game.
Well, it's been a pleasure, Drew. Matt Lack, please don't be a stranger. You're a guest on this podcast, and I'm sure we'll have you on again. Keep putting up good content on b3tsports.com.
Yeah, shout out B3T Sports, the best place to read blogs about top 40s and God knows what else.
And gambling. Sports
mainly gambling.
And gambling. And the stock market.
No, but seriously, guys, thanks for having me on.
Stay tuned.
It was an honor.
All right. Grapefruit.
Normally, you can only get this technique in one of my classes, but I wanted to share this with you because I believe every man should get grapefruited. When you grapefruit your man, it's going to feel as if you are giving him head and fucking him at the same time.
Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling.
Valentino summers and wave runners. Chains on all my niggas like slave runners. Drug dealers anonymous. Valentino Summers and Wave Runners. Chains on my niggas like slave runners. Drug dealers anonymous. How many Madonnas can that Mazda fit? My brick talk is more than obvious. It's ominous. Garage is the phantom. Ghouls, ghosts, and goblins. Blonde Mohawk the collection. I'm Dennis Rodman.
No better feeling would he ever get than being grapefruited. No better feeling would he ever get than
every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling.
Time to hit the showers, 'cause baths are for babies.